Well, praise the Lord. We do want to welcome everyone that's watching tonight, and we appreciate everyone that is here, and we're just going to have a great time. Hallelujah. I want to remind you that Sunday we're having our fellowship, and also they started last year having, it's more of a game than anything else, but they have a gift exchange, and anybody that really would like to participate, like $2, $3, $4 a gift, and it's a really fun game. And so just wrap it, you don't have to tell anybody what it is, and bring it, unless it's like a Remington 270 with a composite stock and a bull barrel or something like that, then you'll see me out in the parking lot before you come in, okay? And so hallelujah. But praise the Lord. We're so glad that you're with us, and thank you for your support. We sent out our letter yesterday. I hope you got it, and I hope that you read it when you got it, or at least sometime soon. If you're not signed up for the letters, please write us and just say, I'm not getting your letters, and you can afford them. They are free, and I enjoy reading them myself, and I appreciate the work that Sarah and Candy do to help me get those produced, the editing, and sometimes there's just the right word tweaked that makes it say it just a little bit better, and I appreciate that from Sarah and the follow-up that Candy does in getting those out. Hallelujah. So they're going out to a lot of different people now, so that's really wonderful. People are being blessed, and so praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is the time of the year for holiday season, and a lot of wonderful things are going on, and everybody's kind of busy, and people are traveling, and so we appreciate you not forgetting ministering to the church and giving, and if you have something tonight, there's a basket at the door to this capacity crowd. We appreciate you so much. We appreciate just what we do. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Why don't you just lift those hands just a little bit? Dave used to say, call it half mask. Father, we glorify you. We praise you. We love you. So wonderful. So precious. Holy Spirit, you are all we need. And we give you all the praise. Give you all the glory, Jesus, for the blind that will see and the lame that will walk, and all the notable miracles that are taking place in the Spirit to change us to that place. Oh, Father, thank you for the days now and the days which will rage the outpouring of your Spirit. And we glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Receive of you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you will, please give me that water. Thank you. Appreciate that. Glory. You know, Gary Carpenter was the first one from Tulsa to come here. He was so nice and generous to come when he didn't know us. So I came to Tulsa in 97, the first time, Candy and I and Barbara and Miss Vinny. I hope that you can hear this or get word. We appreciate her. And that's when I met Dave, and that's when I got the call to do this, to receive an outpouring. And knew the Lord before that, was part of a bigger church in Fort Myers. And that was 97, 98, I believe, is when Gary came. He was so gracious. He didn't know us, but he came, and we were extremely blessed by his ministry. He went back and told Pastor Dave, if we don't receive revival soon, those guys in Immokalee are going to beat us. It was amazing. We had Dave maybe that later that year. I'd have to check the records if we had any. On that, it was probably the latter part of, might have been after the October conference. I think he may have came in November. And he came, and it was so wonderful because, you know, there was standing room only. This is a small, very small building. And but it was packed, and we had chairs in the aisle to where you could just barely squeeze through. And there was so much, and the people were right up here. There was probably hardly any room because we had to just squeeze every chair we possibly could in. And there was an excitement in the air, and it was very powerful. And he came with a worship team, and I think his family came with him that year, the first time. It was so awesome. And he came back several times afterwards. But the amazing part was, among many other really wonderful, notable miracles that took place in that week, we had there was two ministers that came over from Fort Myers, and one of them was an internationally known minister, very well known in the United States, and he was from Tulsa. He had a ministry in Tulsa, and he moved to Fort Myers and started a church there, and then would have a conference every year. And that's where Miss Barbara first met Dave Roberson, I believe, going to that conference. And that conference was right across the street, pretty much right across the street from where I lived, but I didn't know that church too much. I didn't go to any of those conferences. And Dave was right across the street for years, and he would come in and he would share the services with Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle and Charles Capps. But I remember after I really got to know Miss Barbara, she said there was one that she liked more than them all, and that was Roberson. And she picked him. And so when she got a chance to go out to his conference, she did and took us with her, and we met him, and things started happening. It was amazing because that minister came over like the first or second night when Pastor Dave was here for the first time. And I was just getting to know Pastor Dave. And so he came over with my former pastor, which I had not really, you know, cut any ties with that pastor as of yet, but I knew where I was going. I knew that Pastor Dave was my pastor now. And that other pastor had kind of helped us, you know, come over here and get established. And I loved him, and I still do. And wonderful man, but just not where, you know, he was not where we were going. And so they came over, the two of them came over together, and it was so amazing. And Pastor Dave says, you know, I saw him in the back office, and I was talking to him, and he said, you know, they're here. I said, I know they're here, and I told him that. And he said, oh, okay, because he was still or had been going over to do that conference with that visiting pastor. And so I had them up. He said, it'd be nice if you just gave them an opportunity to share just a moment, and I did. You know, that was just congeniality among ministers. And I never will forget. Now, this is amazing. I never will forget that not my pastor formally, but this other internationally known minister, which has gone to be with the Lord now. I never will forget, he got up here, and very charismatic man. I mean, just extremely charismatic, personality plus. And he, you know, wherever I was sitting at, he congratulated me and for the, I guess you'd call it the instant success. Now, you won't believe this, but then in those days, and we'd only been in, you know, service as far as full time, and had this church about a year or so, and without anything special going on. I mean, just because of what was going on and what we were doing, and we had reached 150 people. Now, you can't imagine 150 people in this in this size. I mean, this place was buzzing. You say, I can't see it now. It kind of looks like one of those ghost towns out west where you say, this was a ghost, have you ever heard of success in reverse? So he got up and he said, I want to thank Pastor Flint, or I want to congratulate Pastor Flint for reaching the milestone of 150 people in his weekly attendance. And I thought, man, that's, you're just packing them in here, and it was wonderful. And so 150 people in here is like sardines. But we were having more people, I would say more people on a Wednesday night than we have on Sunday morning. Now, I don't know, you Plamondans, y'all came along and run everybody off. But I'm just kidding. I don't think you saw those glory days so much. But anyway, the men were coming in, and they were coming down. And I didn't try to even start this. They said, can we pray? I said, my God, yes, you can pray. Can we pray on Saturdays? And they would come in here and just fill this church up on Saturday mornings. And just, I mean, all kinds of men all up around the altar and the seats and praying. And I thought, man, my God, we're just right on the verge. We're right on the verge of just blowing this city wide open. Thousands and thousands. I thought, right on the edge of revival. And God only knows what I was preaching back then. I was only a number of years out of college, but, you know, I was trying to make my sermons homiletically sound, and, you know, you had to have a greeting and a body and a closing, and you had to have some kind of bridge in there where you, I can't even remember all the stuff they tried to get across to you. And so we were really packing them in, and then something began to happen. I think the devil, to start with, thought we were going to be just a regular church. And he wasn't going to fight us too much as long as I stuck with my former college days. But then when I started listening to every single tape that Derek Eha or Iha would send me, and I still got those tapes in there. You know, I don't even know where you get a cassette player now. I don't even know where to get one. But I'll never throw those away because those are what I cut my teeth on. So I went through every single series, and some multiple times, just play it again. I would spend 8 hours a day over here praying in the Spirit and listening to those series and listening. Well, once the enemy started seeing that we were going to go this direction, then things began to happen. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not. It probably was hard to notice tonight that we didn't have 150 people in here, or what would have been then probably maybe 75 or 80 on a Wednesday night, half of that crowd. But is that tough for you to see? I don't know if that's, Sarah, did you push through the elbow? But I do, I'll bet you Gary and Sue are here at some place. They're right here. And my friend Gene and a whole lot more. A lot of people are here. And we're believing God for what the eye cannot see, because we've been on a collision course now for a long time with revival. The enemy saw that we were serious. And once we began to preach, now here's where I began to see the crowds become offended. Once we began to preach the mortification message, I don't have anything against it, but as long as those men, there might have been 20 of them, we don't have 20 in here tonight. Those men would come, and there might be 20 of them on a Saturday morning, and as long as we were having Promise Keeper events and going off and doing this and doing that, we could keep them. But once we started having a message of mortification, then things begin to change. But then we set ourselves on a collision course if we do not stop with an outpouring of His Spirit. Well, I've got 16 or 17 different places I could go to. I'd rather have that than not anything at all. Hallelujah. I could just about say pick a spot and then go to it and go from there. Let's go to James. How about let's start in James? Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm going to talk to you just a little bit here and remind you about the current war and about what we're contending for. This won't always be. And I can tell you, and I'm not trying to just encourage you or those that you're watching, but it's evident that when you go from without even trying, I don't even know how we had it. I don't even know how 150 people showed up. And it wasn't just, you know, the new guy in town a lot of times will get instant success because people looky-loos. People want to come and see. But we carried that for months and months where there was just big, big crowds. You couldn't hardly find a seat in here. But the testimony, the great testimony of where you and I are going is in the war. That's the testimony. Because if we had not have changed and went ahead and desired what we desire and pushed through the flesh where the flesh would say, why don't you concede this or why don't you concede that? And we pushed through it and we said, no, we're not going to concede anything. Not going to concede, not anything, because we want pure gold. That's all we want is pure gold. And so it's like Gideon's army. What did he start out with? 20-something thousand, shook it down to 10,000, then the 10,000 went to the 300. Hey, I'd take 300 right now. Look at James 1. Just a few verses. James 1:1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. I'd like to instruct you to be able to turn to somebody on your row and say, count it all joy, but I can't do that. Maybe turn and look at somebody across the congregation and say, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Pastor, count it means to account it. To say this, I will account this to joy. Pastor Dave used to put his twist on it and he'd say, that's one. That's two. That's three. That's four. That's five different temptations. Now, the word temptation here doesn't mean like I'm tempted. It can mean, but it's far more than I'm tempted to commit sin, like something immoral. It means the test, the trial, the tribulation that's come to try you. Count it all joy. And Dave would say, there's one, there's two, there's three, there's four, there's five. And sometimes you just lose count and then you just say, oh, I'm just thankful, Lord. is 1:30 in the morning last Wednesday night. Candy and I got a call from the alarm company, and we you know, you're trying to figure out who's calling us at 1:30. And they said, we've got a burglar alarm at the church. Should we send, you know, the sheriff's department, or do we just, you know, shut it down? And we said, let, you know, we're trying to clear the fog. Candy's phone's on, so she said, let me go to the cameras. So we got cameras. We got plenty of cameras all around the building. We got alarms in this building and alarms in the trailer. There were certain things we didn't have in the trailer that were getting put in. And Candy checked the cameras, and nobody was in the building. Nobody was in the trailer. So we said, just, you know, don't send, and you can shut it down. And I said, Candy, so they got off the phone. I said, Candy, check it. Just check all, you know, we can rewind and check. And she goes, oh, my God. Here he is. Here he comes. We've seen him. Same thing 2 years ago. Went in the trailer, busted through a window. And by the way, if you're thinking, oh, that's a Mockley, listen, I'll bet you you'd be surprised. A Mockley's probably one of the least, unless you live in Mayberry RFD and Andy Taylor's your sheriff, this is not a crime-ridden city. It's really a quiet city. And you hardly ever hear of even a shooting. It may be a shooting maybe every few years or something. But anyway, so it wasn't that. So here comes this guy. We got him caught on camera. And by the way, he got a TV. He got one of the TVs, but the alarm started going off, so he didn't come back. But Candy put together all the stuff, you know, for the detectives, and we've been meeting with them all week, and it's not that much, but he doesn't need to keep doing that. And but it was amazing, because here's Candy's got this, and she's making these videos. Well, this guy is going across our parking lot at 1:30 in the morning on his bicycle with a TV like this, with a 55-inch TV like this. And the most amazing part is he's stealing from us, and we're laughing about it. Candy's going, look, and he's doing this and he's doing that, and he almost falls down. And you're talking about truly counting it all joy. It's like, you know, and we got it back today. They found it, and they kind of know who it is. They do, and they're just waiting to do something else, which I can't say. But you know, Watson was sitting right over there Sunday, and I was talking about how, you know, he works on Sundays, but he gets off every once in a while. And then the last time he was off, they had like one time they had just before they came to church, nice vehicle per se, and they went out and the tire's flat. So they were trying to get that fixed before church. And then the next time, I think it was, when he had an opportunity to come, the water pump went and the piping in the bathroom kind of exploded. And I was talking to him about that. Of course, we're always a part of that. You know, you're always a part of your family stuff, you know, I'm trying to call and get them a repairman over there that I know. And so he just got, I mean, just got, within the last week, a brand new truck, really nice truck. And then yesterday, Davey's driving it to take the kids. Yes. And somebody plows right into the back of it. They try to miss it and hit and mess up the bumper and all. And the sad part was, It was somebody she knew and really likes, and they got out and they go, "Oh my God!" They didn't have no idea. They're crying. The person's crying, and Davey's saying, "It's okay. It's okay." And the law officer is saying, "I wish every accident could be like this. You two people are hugging each other and saying, 'It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right.'" Well, it was so serious, really, that all the kids couldn't go to school. They had to bring them over to our house. Was it yesterday or Monday? Yeah, yesterday. And I had to pray for Nana, and I had to pray for their backs, and they weren't putting on. And Davey also, her back, it was so severe, they got hit. Count it. Same day, we got the call that Candy's brother, her older brother, we just love him. He got to know the Lord in the last 15 years of his life and just really, really watches our services, lives up in Maine. He's the Bubba, the older one of the bunch. And he's had three or four different fights with cancer during the years and won them all, just come out on the other side. Well, this last one came on him, oh, 4, 5, 6 months ago, and they've been working with him, and he did everything he could. Well, then last week or 2 weeks ago, he went in for surgery because it's intestinal cancer. They were trying to do some things in there. And now you just have to know him. You know, he's one of those kind of people where you'd say, you got to know this person to know that he would just never say anything like this. Just never say. It'd be the furthest thing in the world for him to say it. But he came out of that, and then as soon as he was coming out of anesthesia, hardly, he told his family, he said, "Bronx right." That's one of the things he said. And then the other thing is, "I've seen Jesus." And he really had an encounter. He saw Jesus, and they talked for a little bit. Well, you know, it's not really fair for Jesus to show himself to somebody. He knows it's not fair, but it's okay. Smith Wigglesworth's wife died, and he brought her back. She died, and he brought her back, and she woke up. And she said, "Smithy, why did you do this? I was with him. You got to let me go. I can't. I've been with him." And he gave her permission. Well, Kenny, that's his name. He saw Jesus, and then he come out of that, and they went back just in the last few days, and they said, "We can't do anything else. We've done everything we can do, and it's just a matter of time." Now, I'd fight with him I'd fight for him. Not with him, but with him, yes. If he wanted to. But he told everybody, "Listen, my desire is, get me out of the hospital. I don't want to go here. I'm going to go home, and then I'm going to go home." Somebody said, "Well, no, we'll pray." No, listen, it doesn't work that way. If somebody wants to fight, you can fight with them. But if somebody says, he's joyful about it. He's done seen Jesus. So I don't know if that means another trip to Maine before even Christmas or what. I'm not sure. We're still looking at that. Count it. Count it joy. Another one of our kids got we know what's going to happen. We're going to get the right report, but just a symptomatic report, enough that it's one of those that'll stop you in your tracks. Count it. And this all in the last. And then a bunch of other stuff that you can't mention from the pulpit, because it involves other things that are private. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. That's what you do. That's what we do. Well, Pastor, what about the crowd? The crowd will come. The glory, the best is yet to come. But we won't stop. And I'm not talking about our trials to leave you out to know that if you're on this path, you're going to get a lot of opportunities. Is that right, Miss Rosie? To count it all joy. Amber, my daughter, called her mom today, and I was listening, and she said she was talking about a bunch of this stuff because it involves them. You know, your stuff always involves your kids if you're close, and their stuff involves you if you're close. She said, Mom, I thought Dad was crazy growing up in our home. He kept saying, we're in a war. The devil's fighting us. She goes, now that I'm an adult, I can only say this. I agree with Miss Donna Roberson. And she quoted, she said, when Donna would say, people just think I'm crazy sometimes. And they say that, oh, Donna just thinks that there's a devil behind every bush. She goes, no. Let me correct that. I need to correct that. I do not believe that there is a devil behind every bush. I sincerely believe that there's at least 10 devils behind every bush. Hallelujah. But if you're on this walk and you're counting it all joy, you see him taking your stuff, and Candy goes, look at him. He got us up at 1:30, and now we got to go. We went and bought another TV, and, of course, the one we got back's no good. I mean, scratched up and this, that, and the other. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. We've been here a lot lately, haven't we? 1 Peter chapter 5, humbling ourselves. But I can't get past this, especially at this point in our walk, knowing that we're walking through some diverse temptations. But here's the formula to be exalted. Here it is. This is real simple, but can we do it? He said in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. And he says this to the elders, and maybe I should have went to verse 1, because he's talking to the elders, and that's you and I, and grown-ups in Christ. That's what he's talking to. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not grudgingly, but love what you're doing because you love people. Not for filthy lucre. We know what that's about without going into it, but of a ready mind. Neither be ye lords over God's heritage, but examples, or in samples, but examples is what he's saying. King James. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders, and yes, all of you. In other words, let this be a consensus. Here's where you begin to know how to stand in a place of continual peace, no matter what is being thrown at you, while you wait out the days in going forward for revival. Be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and I went over that a few Sundays ago. He stands, that in the Greek, it's he stands aloof or far off from it. He doesn't forsake the Christian, he stands away from them. In other words, where the anointing is not really touching your life. But he giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, he's talking about being exalted out of the temptation, the same thing that James is talking about, casting all your care upon him, for he careth. Here's how you do it. The first thing is to humble yourself. The next thing is to cast that care upon the Lord. And how do you do that? It's not by a one-time event. Remember the funny analogy Dave talked about? You drive a Volkswagen, the devil drives a Ferrari. It's not a one-time casting. It's a lifestyle of living this life where that you can wake up every morning and say, you know what? I lost count last night. I don't know where we at, 15, 16, 17, I don't know, of just unusual circumstances. But we're just going to keep counting it joy. Because at the end of the day, Christ is there. He's at the end of the day. He's at the end. Be sober. Be vigilant. Well, sober means to walk in sobriety without intoxication, being intoxified or inebriated by the trial. If you don't watch it, if you're not sober, if you let yourself be drunken, especially when accusations come to you or to you about your brethren, you'll begin to believe things that are mirages. They don't really exist. But as far as you're concerned and as far as the natural looks, it looks like that it's real. But you have to say, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to remain sober. This whole trial, whether it's 15, 16, number 9 or number 8 or whatever's coming against you, it's all for the point of you somehow giving your senses over to where you begin to believe the lie. And once you begin to once the little seed of accusation towards someone ever starts, and you feed it for a little bit, just a little bit, then it starts a drunkening. It swoons you. You begin to meditate it, and it begins to meditate you, and it begins to feed you information. And then it will cause things to happen that will prove to you that what you believe really is the truth. And you'll say, my God, God's proven this thing to me, and God wasn't proving it to you. The enemy was involved, and that's why it says be sober. By the way, I think you know this, but the Mr. Offense is coming around. He's already been around. We're ordering so much of our stuff on Amazon for these little ones nowadays where we don't have to get out in the traffic. And sometimes they'll have, you know, you got grandkids and you got a bunch of grandkids, so you get sometimes two or three gifts apiece. So for a month, it's like, you know, two or three times a day sometimes something's at the door, ding, ding, or maybe, you know, Amazon, Amazon, Amazon. Well, guess what? Something's at the door. Ding, ding. Hey, Candy, Amazon. Nope. It's Mr. Offense. Can I come in? No. No. Okay, don't worry. I'll be back tomorrow. Coronavirus is not so much in the air. Maybe it is during this time of year. But I can tell you, Mr. Offense is in the air. And all you got to do is breathe him in and not exhale him out quick enough, and he'll stick, and he'll cause you to believe something that's not true. That's why he says be sober and then be vigilant. Whatever you did yesterday before the trial started, if you were praying, don't stop praying. Don't stop reading the word to figure it out. Pastor Dave used to say the greatest immunity, what would immunize us the greatest against tests and trials and especially offenses was love. Staying in love. Letting the love of God flow to us and through us. He would talk about when things are really tough, when the enemy's coming in like a flood, that's the time to just forgive everybody. Make sure. That's why in the last few weeks I've gone back and listened to the love walk. I think there's four. I think I did three of those four lessons recently. Just reminding myself. You know, if you haven't heard that series, The Love Walk, it's on the Dave Roberson Ministries website. You'll find it in the series. It's one of the precious ones. You'll find that to get past anything or to get past it, to get past it, what's it? Well, to get past the financial problem, the emotional problem, the physical problem, you're going to have one or two choices. You're going to say, well, I'm either going to keep the offense or I'm going to lay the offense down and get past it. Because I can promise you this, whether I'm talking to the choir, I believe, tonight, but you're not going to walk in an offense and get your healing. You're not. You're not going to have a breakthrough financially and walking over here in discord. Now, somebody might not like you, and I think sometimes people don't like me. But I can't do anything about that. They're in discord with me. I'm not in discord with them. My arms are wide open, accepting and loving. But recently I've been forgiving little beetle bugs. Cats, which are not my favorites. Mosquitoes. No, I don't like. It's okay to have offense at mosquitoes. Just forgiving everything and watching every little nuance candy. Bronk, would you get me something out of the garage? And I'm sitting there watching my favorite Western. What? I mean, what is it, sweetheart? What, my little turtle dove, what did you need? Because listen, when I pray for my kids that are fighting something physical, or I pray for the attack that's in my home, I can't afford not even a speck of offense, because it won't work. It won't work to hold that. Love is what makes me and what makes you invincible to the enemy. He doesn't know what to do with you. I want to kill him. I can't kill him. I want to kill their family. I can't. It'll make him so mad. And if you like making the devil mad, walk in as much love as you can. Hallelujah. I'll remind you, although I don't have it in front of me, the pyramid prophecy, it's on the back table, and that's something that Pastor Dave gave years ago. Maybe that would be, Candy, a good one to post as a PDF alongside of this, if you can remember. The pyramid prophecy. What is it? In essence, it's like how the enemy fights a church like ours. And he saw a pyramid, something in the shape of a pyramid, and the man with the vision at the top, and then elders underneath, and then elders and everyone that would support that vision, prayerfully, attendance, and vision-wise, and how that it would just go right on down into you get into the complexity of the larger congregation and people, and how the enemy would just, he saw this in a vision form as he prophesied it. And the enemy would start at the bottom, and he would just go right up, just seeing how many he could get to get offended, kick each other in the face. And this one would go, and that one would go. But where he was headed, to the top. And he was headed to those top elders and top and top. And the Lord was saying, but if the people at the top, or if the man at the top, no matter what's thrown at them or him, if he doesn't get offended and offend others. Now, somebody can get offended at you. You can't. But as long as you don't kick somebody in the face, he'll never be able to destroy it. But what he's after in going, he climbs up that pyramid, seeing who he can take out. And the further, I think the part of the prophecy was, the further he goes, and this would make sense because elders being at the top, they've gone through enough already that he said the further that he went, the more sophisticated the attack had to become. And it had to become unrecognizable. You couldn't see it to start with in the natural until you got into it. And then you was like, oh, wait a minute. The devil's trying to destroy something here. All I'm saying is this. If we're in one of those seasons, you be the missing link. In other words, when he gets to you, he's got to skip you. He's got to find somebody else. Because you're not going to hear him. You're not going to talk to him. You're not going to, ding dong, yes, Amazon, no. Your delivery is here. Can I make you believe something about somebody? Can I get you to accept? Hallelujah. Well, we were going to get into Sunday's prophecy, and it's a good one. Distractions, burnt fields, and dry bones, but we'll have to do that next week because we're getting close. You know, Sunday, I heard the Lord in that. I like the way Gary says you don't get to judge prophecy if it's a true prophecy. I'm standing here listening to the Lord and prophesying about burn over fields. Now, I had heard that term 15 years ago, at least, when Pastor Dave prophesied that. And someone sent me four of those prophecies this week, and we'll share those maybe. And they were in, going back to, I believe, in the first part of 2002 and 3, something like that. I'll have to check. I read through those a couple of times this week. But I wasn't meditating that. But the Lord, I wasn't meditating, thinking on that. And then I heard the Lord begin to talk about burn over fields. And the Lord was talking about those who had already been through what seems to be this process. It's that, let me say this, some of those are that 150 that was here to start with. I honestly couldn't believe it. They saw miracles and still chose to leave. But the Lord was saying Sunday, and in that prophecy concerning burn over fields, that in this anointing, a lot of those folks are going to return. And if they don't return to this locale, they're going to return in this last day call. Okay, boy, I love people so much. I can't tell you how much I love people. There's nobody that's left that I wanted to leave. But I did say, he did say this. I don't know if I've told you this. Maybe I said this Sunday. The Lord told me specifically, he said, the difference between then and now in the outpouring, anointing, you're going to be able to keep a whole lot more than what was lost then. In other words, it won't always be this revolving door. You'll never, ever be able to keep everybody all the time, because that's just the nature of the flesh. But Jesus had 12 and he only lost one. And he said the reason for that was it was prophesied, and it wasn't the Lord doing it, but the Lord knew it was going to take place. So that's a pretty good ratio. Keep 11 and lose one. Or we're going to keep a lot. Hallelujah. So turn to the ghostly person to your right and left. Or just speak to a real person across the aisle and say, revival is now. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. I will see you Sunday. My wife will be here the rest of the week, but if you try to reach me, I probably am in a place in the state that I won't be able to be reached until Saturday evening. So, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, bless our time going forward in this night. Let the seed sown for revival manifest in the days ahead. Thousands, thousands, and tens of thousands born again in this outpouring. We're not ashamed. We're not embarrassed by the walk we've chosen. And we give you all the praise and glory, because in the end, it will prove itself. Wisdom is justified of her children. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen.